So, this is the second message, as Dennis has said, in the series on Beyond Jabez is the name of the book, Beyond Jabez. And that the first book that Wilkinson wrote was titled The Prayer of Jabez, wasn't it? And so, you know, I just have been marveling at the richness of this prayer and the depth of this prayer. In fact, at first I said, such a short prayer, tucked away in some of the most mundane portions of Scripture, the genealogy of Abraham through Saul. What is the big deal with this little prayer? Why all the fuss over so few words? How can something so small get such big results? And do you mean to tell me that if I pray this prayer, I will get results? Is there magic in them, their words? Not only do I believe you will get results if you pray this little prayer, but I believe that you will get results even if you make it shorter. If you can pray, Lord, enlarge my territory, like Jabez prayed, you will see the work of God in a very powerful way in your life. But it is not magic. It is simply God doing what he is already doing in your life in a more noticeable way. The words are not like a combination that opens a lock. The words in Jabez's prayer were born out of an intense internal experience that enlarged God in Jabez's life to epic proportions. The good news is this: the same God is at work in you, offering to enlarge himself in your life to epic proportions. He is giving birth in to your own prayer of Jabez. He is writing the book, The Prayer of Eli, The Prayer of Catherine, The Prayer of Larry. And I won't name all of you, but put your name in there. And not only that, but he has a sequel. And it's beyond, and put your name in there. He is enlarging your territories. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. To fully understand or appreciate the prayer of Jabez, we must see it as a prayer from the inside out. Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, is a prayer from the inside out. It is a prayer rooted in an intensely internalized experience. Jabez, translated, means pain. Now, I'd like you to just meditate on that for a moment. Your name being pain. Now, names are important. If you were here a couple weeks ago, Marguerite told you how important it was to her, unbeknownst to me, that I remembered her name. She told a story that said it was the thing that convinced her to come to Olympia instead of go to church someplace else on one given day, just because I remembered her name. You know, I teach school, as many of you know, and I work hard at remembering the kids' names. And the sooner I do it, the better off I am. Because they watch for it. They watch for it. Now, it's getting to be a stretch for me. 135, 140 students, you know, and so I tell them right off. I may stumble in saying your name right. Interrupt me, you have my permission. You must interrupt me right then, because I do not want to practice your name incorrectly. Because practice makes what? And they all say perfect. I say, no, it doesn't. Practice makes permanent. And you don't want me practicing your name wrong. So you interrupt me. You tell me the right pronunciation of your name. And I tell them, if you have another name that you want me to call you than I have on my list right here, you tell me immediately, because I want to change this and I want to call you by your name, the name you want me to call you. I said, now I'm really serious about this and this is important. And then I tell them, and I'm going to want you to quiz me by the end of the week. And usually it's a half week when we start school. You know, we start on Wednesday. And so they're all thinking. And if I forget for them to quiz me, they remind me. Have you got the names down yet? And then without my cheat sheet, I just have to go, you know, and with anticipation, they wait. And when I say their name, they smile. You know, and when I and the ones that smile most are the ones that are hardest for me to remember. Because I work on it, and maybe I say, give me the first letter. And if I have to say, give me the first letter, they give me the first letter, but they want me to get it right. They just are wanting me to get it. And I remember it. Thanks be to God. And I say their name, and you know. And they without fail, they applaud and say yay afterwards. How would you like to be called pain? The name caused Jabez tremendous pain. What mother names her son Pain? A woman very broken, very much aware of her pain. Make no bones about it. In Israel, names were important. And so important to the Israelites that they understood that the naming of the person was the shaping of the individual. And so they tried to name the person in a way that would shape how they thought of themselves. Well, how marvelous that is and how right that thinking is, isn't it? If you hear reinforced who your parents want you to become. Now, in that setting, this Hebrew woman named her son Pain. She may have named her son Pain as a means of coping, maybe getting rid of the pain that she was feeling. Maybe it was a venting. Maybe seeing Jabez as the very object of her pain, whatever her motivation was, we can be certain of this. It was not love. Jabez learned as a result very quickly, very deeply, that no person, and in his case, especially his mother, could give him what he really wanted most. We all must learn that lesson. We all must learn that lesson.
That's
right. No person can give you what you want most deeply. No person can give you what you really truly need. So, where did Jabez turn to find what he needed? Inside. Every time he heard his name, he went searching for someone that would not define him by his name. He learned to reject other people's interpretations of his name and the identity that they attached to it. And he began to embrace an inner voice that told him, "You matter, Pain. You are honorable. In fact, you are not the cause of bad things. On the contrary, you are the awareness of important things. You are the one who causes people to truly see. For pain is often the awakening of the soul to the deeper meaning of life. It makes the things we cannot see more real than the things we do. That inner voice, that still small voice, he learned to hear, to tune into, to turn up. He soon came to know that voice was God's voice. He also came to understand that that voice changes things by changing the way we think. While every person who said his name had a tendency to identify him negatively, he realized that what he believed about himself had the ultimate power to identify him. Jabez learned well that his identity was what God and he himself believed him to be. Not what other people were naming him. Not what other people were identifying him to be. Do you know this? God is in each of us, telling us we matter. Do you hear his voice right now? He is in you, and he is telling you, you matter.
That's right.
And this is the root of God's prayer. My question to all of us this morning is, what is your identity? Are you a pain? Are you pain? Are you a sinner? Now be careful how you answer this question. If you see yourself as a sinner, that is what you will be indeed. If you see yourself as a sinner, you will most assuredly be one. You cannot become by constantly looking at what you are not. I'm going to say that again. You cannot become by looking at what you are not. Which came first? Jabez's honorable acts or his honorable thoughts? It's a no-brainer. His honorable thoughts preceded his honorable acts. Which came first? Jabez's honorable thoughts of himself or God's honorable thoughts of Jabez? I hope it's a no-brainer for you. God's honorable thoughts of Jabez preceded his own honorable thoughts. Jabez was honorable because he believed himself to be honorable, and he believed himself to be honorable because God always believed Jabez to be honorable. You will never see your territory enlarged unless you believe you are worthy. This is the good news. Jesus says you are worthy. So worthy, he gave his life for you. And because of your faith in him, he has made you sons and daughters of God. You are worthy of anything he wants to give you. And I'm going to tell you something you may never have realized. What does he want to give you? He wants to give you everything. He wants to give it all to you. All. You are worthy. You see, Jabez isn't a story about a guy born with a silver spoon in his mouth. It is a story of profound overcoming. We can all relate to Jabez because of the way God related to Jabez and how Jabez received God's activity in his own life. I mean, every single one of us, the good news is this, every single one of us, God is in us and God is speaking to us and he is telling us, you are worthy. He is not telling you, you are a sinner. He doesn't have time for that. Not only does he not have time for that, he sees no function in that. There's no purpose in that. There is nothing good that will come from that. He cannot create what he wants to create in you by telling you what you are not. You are not a sinner. You are his son, and you are his daughter, and you are worthy. You are honorable. You are worth so much that he would come and give his very life for you. Could he do anything more to prove how worthy you are, how much you are worth? Sometimes we look at a person's life and we're inclined to say, it would have been better off if that person would have never been born. I'm sorry, but you know, I have said that about people before. I have looked at people and thought that. And you have too. But I'm telling you this. God never, ever believes that. God looks at every person and says, just give me a chance. You may not see what I see in him, but I'm in him. And no, it is not better off for him to be dead. I'm going to be in him. I'm speaking to him. I'm at work in him. And I'm going to break through. I'm going to get through. I'm going to get through to him just how valuable he is. And he doesn't always get through, does he? He doesn't always get through. But he's sold out to the effort. He sees people only one way. Worthy, honorable, blameless, and good. That's where the prayer of Jabez was born. There are two answers to prayer. And sometimes I don't think we know that. The first answer to prayer is the inside answer. You see, if we think there's just one answer to prayer, we're missing the concept entirely. The first answer to prayer is inside, and that's the most important place that prayer is answered. And it is always answered. Always. God withholds nothing. God has given it to you. It is yours. The second place the prayer is answered is in the outside. Now that's a little different. We don't always have control over the timing of that. Although, as my friend Jerry says, I think we have more control over that than we like to admit. But sometimes it will get manifest in the physical world. Maybe after we pass on. Does that mean it didn't get answered in the outside world? No. In fact, I'd like you to take on the mind of Christ, because for a believer, we never die. Isn't that right? What did Jesus say when Martha came to him, or was it Mary that came to him and said, why didn't you come sooner? Lazarus died. And he said, if you believe in me, you will never what? Die. He said, get a whole new framework. Get a whole new way of seeing things. If you believe in me, you're not going to die. Now, I don't want to be you guys being worried about me with the state of the dead. Okay? I believe what the Bible says about that. But I also believe that Jesus is trying to tell us something. He doesn't want to see the ending of this body as if it's the ending of everything. It ain't. In fact, he'd like us to relate to death as if the person really has not died. And so maybe the answer is going to be someplace else, somewhere else. But it's going to most assuredly have an outside answer too. Now, the inside answer. God has already given you everything. I want you to turn. Well, no, you're not going to have to turn. I'm going to turn. To Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Did I read that right? Every? Did I read that right? How many of you are feeling like every prayer is being answered, baby? If you don't feel like every prayer is being answered, then you've got to go to this text and you've got to get back in line with this text, because this text is telling you, I've already given it to you. Quit acting like I haven't. Quit relating to me as if you've got to beg me to do something I don't want to do for you. That you've got to somehow convince me to see things your way. God doesn't want you in that orientation with Him. Jabez didn't know that orientation at all. Jabez believed that he was already being given. Because he believed those words. Every spiritual blessing in Christ is already given to you. I'm telling you, that is huge. But it gets better. Now to Him that is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work where? Within us. To Him be glory. And it gets even better than that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with what? You don't give thanks for something you haven't already received. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, thanking Him because He's already given it to you. I'm telling you, if you start to embrace this concept about prayer, which is exactly what Jabez had embraced, your life is going to be turned upside down. You are going to see amazing things happening in your life. The most powerful prayers. You want to know what the most powerful prayers are? I do. If somebody was to put a slide on there saying, the most powerful prayers, I'd be on the edge of my seat. Tell me, what is it? What are the most powerful prayers? Tell me. I'll tell you. The most powerful prayers most connect us to God. Powerful prayer. Get this. This is huge. Jabez knew this. This is his prayer. Powerful prayer is when my prayers are finally saying what God has been saying all along. Wow. That's what the prayer of Jabez is? Yes. That's what the prayer of Jabez is. Does that sound inviting to you? That what God is wanting for you in prayer is to simply finally understand that He's already been praying for you and you can come in to agreement with his prayers for you. And we already said, what did he want to give you? Everything. In other words, he's saying, I've already showered everything on you. Just come in alignment with me in prayer. Believe that. Enlarge my territory. Enlarging our territory raises some questions. Some pretty important questions. The first one is this. What is meant by territory? In Jabez's day, it probably meant more land or more animals. He was probably a farmer or a herdsman or something like that. And so there was a real physical application to more territory. Today, it's got to be more than space, since we've kind of run out of property. Okay? Unless you want a piece of the North Pole, probably get you that. So, and now we're doing things in outer space that are pretty unique. We're shooting bombs at the moon. We have to have some kind of different understanding of what territory means. Now, in our information age, there are those people that would say that the new territory is knowledge, that he who can amass the most information is the richest person. But you know what? We're amassing information at such a speed now that they've finally given up on that. It really isn't the person who can amass the most information that's going to be the most powerful. Now what we're beginning to realize is that we can create that thought, the capacity to think, is the new territory. In other words, the new territory is the 6 inches between your brain. And the more of it you grab hold of, the larger your territory becomes. What is the purpose of enlarging my territory?
Well,
some would say, we got to be careful here, because if there's any selfish motive, we're in trouble. And I would suggest to you that if we understand what God is telling us, God delights in giving us every spiritual blessing, every gift. We better be careful about being happy with small territory because somehow we think it's the most spiritual position to be in. And that is very much out there. That's one of the reasons Beyond Jabez was written, because the prayer of Jabez, the first book, was so criticized because it was interpreted as simply materialistic. And God has no interest in material things. Well, that is simply wrong. God wants to give you many material blessings. And anybody who says not is really doing God a disservice, because you're making God out to be something other than he is. God is a giver, not a taker. He is a giver, is he not? Didn't he say, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly? Now, obviously, riches can own you. And if they do, you're in trouble. But simply because that's true doesn't mean we should swing our pendulum to the other side and make God out to be a taker and make God out to be somehow not wanting to give you material things. He does. But there's something grander than simply enlarging or enriching your life materially. And that grander thing is God's purpose. In other words, When you come in alignment with God's purpose, when enlarging His territory is in enlarging His purpose, then you are going to be finding ecstasy. That's ecstasy. I'm telling you what it is. It's when the enlarging of your territory and the enlarging of His territory are one. Whose territory is it? Good question. And I would say there's two extremes we have to embrace. First of all, we own nothing because it's all whose? God's. We need to embrace that. Equally as true is that we all own everything. And we need to embrace both. And that will keep us from a selfish orientation of ownership for sure. So God, you know, to have your territory enlarged is not a selfish thing. Especially when you want it to fulfill God's purpose. Especially when you know you don't own it or everybody owns it. I mean, just think of it. I mean, if we had more of that, if we have more of that mentality, you know, today I could say, I could drive in the parking lot and say, you know, I'm tired of my car. I like Eli's today. I'd come over and say, Eli, I really like your car today. Let's switch. And we'd be cool. He might not be. And if we're not cool with it, it's because, you know, we have our ownership thing messed up, isn't it? But what is heaven going to be like? I mean, that's what I want to ask you. What is heaven going to be like? Don't you think it will be more of a sharing like that? Less of a, this is mine? No, this is ours. It's all ours. And when you think about it like that, don't you want everybody's territory enlarged? You see, the problem is you can't pray for your enlarging a territory unless you want everybody's enlarging a territory. Right? As my territory enlarges, how do I defend it? You know, just physically, you talk about the difficulty. When you enlarge your boundaries, if you're a country and you enlarge your boundaries, you make it more difficult to defend your country. When you enlarge your territory, if you think you have to defend it, by enlarging it, you're going to create a problem. But if you understand the territory that's enlarging is not really yours, it's ours. It's God's, it's yours, it's mine, it's everyone's. When God wins, we all win. When Misha wins, we all win. When Greg wins, we all win. Who is responsible for enlarging my territory? I mean, is it my responsibility or is it God's responsibility? Do I just pray and sit back and watch Him work? Well, yes. Yes, I love the story that was in the book that we're reading, Beyond Jabez, where Wilkinson says, you know, he often likes to ask people, what can I do for you? And you know what? I'm going to encourage you to start asking that question of people. I bet if we start asking the question, what can I do for you? Especially the people that we don't know well. I'm guessing that if we learn to ask that question with belief that our territory will be enlarged, that God is going to do miraculous things when we just start asking people that simple question. He says he doesn't usually have to ask that question more than twice of anybody. But on one occasion, he was in a plane, and he was sitting next to a woman, and he finally said to her, how can I help you? And she snapped back, you can't. And he asked a second time a little bit later, how can I help you? What makes you think you can help me? He asked not twice, not three times. I think he asked six times. I'm not sure. But it was, you know, I'm reading the book and I'm saying,
man, you're crazy. Because every response was more and more heated until finally she said, what makes you think you can help me? And I forget what his answer was, but something simple. And she said, how did you know? And she went on to tell him that she was having an affair with somebody at work, and she almost had the guy convinced to leave his children, his wife, and it was just going to be a little bit of time, and they were going to be together. And subsequently, the discussion, you know, went on, and she was not happy. And he discussed with her and led her to the place where she decided to do what she needed to do. She needed to change her workplace and get out of that relationship. I'm telling you, there's an enlargement of territory right there, isn't it? God will enlarge it, but here's something else. Lord, you're enlarging our territory because we are doing what is nearest with a new attitude. See, sometimes we think, God, enlarge our territory, and we want some new and grand thing, and we want something that's not happening now to start happening. I'm telling you that if you want your territory enlarged, then do what is nearest to you with a new attitude. As unto God. Whatever you do for God.
That's right.
Because it's our territory. And nothing you do is little. Nothing you do is insignificant. It all counts. When you start doing what's nearest to you that way, I'm telling you, God's going to enlarge your territory. Lord, you are enlarging our territory because we are willing to live on our edge. We talked about it a while ago. I talked about the fact that we have a circle around us, and we learn to live within that circle. That's our comfort zone. And we are not going to jump outside of that circle and live completely out of it. What God is calling us to do is live on the edge. What Jabez was saying when he said, enlarge my territory, he was saying, God, I know you're calling me to live on my edge. You're calling me to live on my edge because there is where I live by faith. And that is what every one of us can do. We can live on our edge. And we, Lord, you're enlarging our territory because we believe in you. Believe in you in what way? First of all, believe in what he says about you. He says you are worthy. He says you matter. He says you count. He says there is nobody like you. Nobody can take your place. If you believe that he says that about you, and if you believe he says, I have wonderful things in store for you. I am enlarging your territory. I am already enlarging your territory. I already have great works just ready and waiting for you to walk into. Great and wonderful adventurous experiences for you to walk into. To enlarge your territories, we believe in you, God. And we are seeing you in all. It's like my mother-in-law said, if you can't see Jesus in all, you can't see Jesus at all. If you can't see Jesus in all, you can't see Jesus at all. When you see people, and there's your territory. When you see people, do you see Jesus in them? Yes, you can. You know where it starts? It starts seeing Jesus in you. Is he in you? Most assuredly he is. And when you embrace that, when you believe that, you will see others as in him. And Jesus will enlarge your territories. He'll enlarge your influence with them. Let's pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for enlarging our territories. Thank you for this prayer of Jabez. Thank you for working in his life when things were stacked against him, right down to his very name. When everything that was being said to him was that you're a problem. You were at work inside him saying that is not true. And thank you that Jabez turned inside. We can turn inside because you're in us and you're speaking to us and you're telling us that we count and that we matter. And you're telling us you want to enlarge our territories. You have a grand experience, a wonderful adventure planned for every one of us. And we're embracing it, Lord. Thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen.